Okay, Vince in Seattle, Washington says, hey, Art, you're right. Parlor trick. Scientists are the easiest to fool. What do you think?
You know what? I have one more thing to say about that. Okay. Sony, did you know Sony had a psychic research division?
No, I didn't know that.
Yes, it was run by a man named Seiko, and I think they discontinued it recently, but it was in operation for several years. In fact, Dean Radin talked about it in his book, The Conscious Universe. And they went to film this guy with one of their high-speed cameras. I think it's the only time he let someone film them. You know, 20,000 frames a second or something like that.
Sure.
They said there was no magic trick there.
No magic. All right.
Couldn't explain how he did it, but he said no sleight of hand. Those bottles were really stretching in his hand into something that was 2 feet long, a Coke bottle or a lighter.
Well, okay, you heard what I said just as we went into break, the burning at the stake and all of that. Well,
yeah.
We don't really, I guess, burn people at the stake, but I do wonder about the life expectancy of somebody who demonstrates supernatural powers. You know, a lot of people are going to think, I wrote down the work of the devil, and then I got this other fast blast. This is from John in Westchester County, New York. All right, you ready for this? All right. I truly believe crop circles are a sign of evil in our time. My gut tells me that Satan is doing this to mock God. Jesus said, quote, the harvesters are few and the harvest is plenty. The devil has been harvesting souls to hell and he's boasting with crop circles. Okay, but see, doctor, this is reality, brother. It's what's out there.
Yeah, as you could say, Art, you can rest your case. I mean, we like to think we've changed in a couple hundred years. We like to think we don't burn people at the stake, yet we still have these belief systems that if you exhibit these abilities, you're going to be punished or killed or something like that and burnt at the stake. And I think subconsciously we're all still afraid of this. Look, how many of us are afraid to really talk about these topics in the open with people that we know, our neighbors? I mean, we're comfortable talking about this at night, you know, between each other, but what about with, you know, people we know? We have this fear of it, and even I know this person in Japan was threatened by the Magicians Union, and they made him call it magic because they said it was, like, not legal to do it without saying it was really magic.
They made him call it magic?
In fact, he calls his place the Magic Parlor because the local Magicians Union was going to take him to court.
What?
And, yes, they were. This is the,
wait, Rena, I'd like to understand how that one unfolded.
Yes, I was told that he wanted to say it was psychic demonstration.
Yes.
And the local magician said it would put them out of work if he did this.
In other words, you can't call it real?
Yes, exactly. That's exactly right. And so he now calls it the Magic Parlor because they threatened to take him to court because it would be like unfair competition. Now, can you believe that? Now, let me give you a more serious example of this. Have you heard of Dr. Fritz from Brazil, the quantum psychic surgeon?
I have. Yes, I have.
Okay. He treats, you know, like 1,000 people a day with psychic surgery. And I know someone that was very skeptical, Masao Maki, who, you know, is a Japanese author.
Yes.
Runs a sushi restaurant in Boulder, also a very famous author in Japan. He went down to research this person. He calls himself a guru buster, that he is a skeptic, but he concluded this was real, and he's shown me some videos of Dr. Fritz. This is actually a computer programmer that begins to channel, apparently, a German doctor that was deceased, you know, during World War II.
Well, I must tell you, yeah. Doctor, my eyes roll when you say channeling.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I always had a problem with it.
Whatever you want to call it, something takes over his awareness, and he becomes a German doctor, even though he doesn't speak German in real life, and he operates on people.
Well, that's certainly impressive. And
you can see the video.
He operates on people in what manner?
He operates on them with his hands, with all sorts of instruments, hammers and things. These people are awake.
Excuse me, hammers?
Hammers and screwdrivers and
screwdrivers.
Machine tools.
Machine tools.
It's on the video. I've seen the video of this. Now, here's the amazing thing.
Don't the medical authorities in Japan, we're not supposed to use screwdrivers and hammers.
Here's the thing. Let me just say briefly. People feel no pain. You can see the video of them smiling while he's working on them. They feel no pain.
While
they get
he's
up
hammering
from,
away, right?
Hammering away on their spinal columns and things. They're awake, Art. No anesthesia. And it seems unbelievable, but, you know, Maki wrote this book, Brazil's Quantum Surgeon.
Yes.
Basically, it comes down to subtle energy and the fact that we're all at some level energy, and energy is fluid.
Wait a minute, what's subtle about a hammer and a screwdriver?
Well, what Dr. Fritz says is he doesn't really need those, but some people need to see some sort of medical instruments or something to convince them that, you know, something is actually happening. He says he actually doesn't even need to.
Well, that would convince me. If I saw the doctor roll in this sterile tray with a whole bunch of, you know, big old hammers, claw hammers and screwdrivers and stuff, I'm out of there. way out of there.
You don't know whether to laugh or to shriek when you see this. I mean, it looks awfully scary, but the people walk away and they seem to be better. Well, here's why I'm telling you this.
But how can he even do this without being a physician?
When he acts like Dr. Fritz, and Dr. Fritz has actually worked through many different people over the years.
Yeah.
This is the issue. A lot of, even in Brazil, they've said, you don't have a medical license, you can't do this.
Yes.
In Japan, the government said, you can come here if you don't actually do any of this sort of stuff with the machine tools and everything. If you just, like, talk to people and project energy, we'll let you come here. But just before he was about to arrive, when I was there last September,
yes,
just like the Magicians Union did with this psychokinetic individual, the Doctors Union said this is kind of like unfair competition and all this, and they denied his visa, even though he had agreed not to actually operate on people. But he does this in Brazil, treating, you know, hundreds of people a day, and it's pretty well documented. And when they've measured his brain waves, unsurprisingly, it's elevated to about 40,000 hertz.
This is getting into serious research, and I too have seen, 60 Minutes programs. I believe that, for example, documented all kinds of incredible things about yogis that could control things that are uncontrollable in their own bodies. A lot of that's been documented.
Yeah.
As same kind of thing, huh?
I think it's the same sort of thing. Again, it really challenges our belief systems about what is real. I mean, you may have some sort of a boggle point, as some people call it, to the idea of channeling, and I have my own boggle points to other types of ideas. We all do.
You're right about that.
No, we all do. It's part of being a human being, and I think it's healthy to be skeptical. At the same time, we know we live in a universe that is considerably more infinite than our minds can comprehend. And things, just imagine a couple hundred years ago, people burning witches at the stake for things that people now pay for training and remote viewing, people would have been killed for that. Go back a couple hundred years before that to the Middle Ages, where we really thought we were the center of the universe, like planet Earth was it. And they threatened Galileo and Copernicus with talking the fact that this could be an ordinary star and we're just circling a star. So we know that ideas change, and it's just culture is very slow to, evolve.
Yes.
Yeah.
Since people with these abilities tend to be quiet about it, then how many would you guess might be around, say, in the population of the U.S., that aren't making it public? People that, can move things with their minds. People that can perhaps affect the thinking of others, for example. That's another thing, incidentally, that remote viewers are really quiet about.
Yes. The people that worked originally with the remote viewing program were like natural psychics, like Ingo, and other people.
Yes.
And there's a certain percentage of the population that I really believe is naturally psychic. I'm not one of them, okay? I didn't think I could do any of this like most people probably believe. I don't know what the percentage is, but I would guess it's more than we're willing to admit. And if people weren't teased about this when they were smaller in school and were not, not ostracized, we might have more people that could really be helping us be more in the open about this.
Well, if you think people get upset at somebody else's ability to, say, cause a glass to tip over on a table without touching it or bend spoons or whatever, if they really believe that person can do these things, they'll have one level of upsetness. If they think that somebody else can actually direct their thoughts, doctor, they get really upset.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of scary to think about that. And, it does seem that there are people that can do that also. I haven't encountered that directly, but I think that everyone, to some degree, has the ability to learn how to do this. And that was my big learning experience from remote viewing. I didn't think that everybody could do this, but if you've taken a course in this and seen demonstrations, you know, everybody has this ability to some extent or another. And, you know, we're not taught about this in school. And as we talked about earlier, I think the elites that kind of direct our society don't want people doing this. But I think everyone has the ability. In fact, the demonstration I saw in Japan, believe it or not, the lecture that he gave people at the end, he said the whole point of this was to show people, just very similarly to what your guest was talking about last night, that we live in a quantum universe where our belief systems get this direct our reality. That was the whole point of the show. And yes. this is what we're going towards, is that our belief systems are what create the structure we see around us. It looks very solid out there, the physical world we live in, but it's really being constructed by our awareness.
Okay, you did something really interesting. I had never thought about the experiment that you have apparently performed, and that is, I've heard many stories about the properties of crop circles and the experiences and the measurements people have made inside crop circles. So anomalous, all of this information. But I never thought, gee, somebody could go out and create a crop circle, human work, and then see if the same kind of subtle energy abilities are present within that man-made circle. You did that, huh?
Right. That's exactly what we've been doing.
Fascinating. What were the results?
Well, you know, I've been working with, you know, Ron Russell. He's been on your show in the past, and we've been working together since 1996. And we've had this idea once we realized people did make, you know, some of the crop circles that we were looking at. We didn't originally think that people could make any of them. But once we met circle makers, they told us, you know, when we go out there at night to make these, really strange things happen. And no one, you know, this is the untold story of the crop circles. It's not only later on do we see strange things. It's while you're making them, we see strange things. So Ron and I thought, well, if we make some, would we see strange things? These circle makers told us, and I'm specifically referring to people like Matt Williams and others who've talked to us extensively, that they were originally researchers, and they had this idea if they went out and made small ones, maybe the whole process would speed up. They'd get more of them in the fields around England, like a communication process.
How did you even get crop circle makers to talk to you?
They approached us. They had seen us there for several years, and we just thought these people were like, you know, hoaxers, that they're just kind of making up tall tales. They can't really do it. But they said to us, do you want to see us make crop circles? You know, just we're going to do one. The first one was in the daytime, and Linda Moulton Howe was there too. And they said, we've paid for the field. The farmer knows about it. If you just want to watch us make one, you know, you're welcome to come. And we said, hey, you know, we've got nothing to lose. We went out and watched Matt Williams and his team, you know, do a legal formation in the daytime.
All right, so what exactly happened?
Well, here's what happened, Art. We had been using this electrostatic measuring device. You might be familiar with this. It measures electrostatic charges in a laboratory environment. Yeah.
Yes, I am.
And now you have experienced these kind of anomalous electrostatic charges in your amateur radio antennas.
Yes.
I've heard you talking to Bonnie in the past about these kind of anomalous energies you're getting you can't explain.
Absolutely correct.
Right. Well, when I heard that show, I think it was about a year ago, my ears perked up because we had been measuring these crop circles with our static electricity meter. And we thought we had a litmus test for distinguishing the so-called real ones from the man-made ones, because the first three man-made ones that we knew were man-made that had been done in, you know, in public and filmed, there was no energy charge in the meter. They were like statically flat across the whole circle.
Hmm.
And other ones, the meter would jump around like a couple hundred volts as soon as you went into the circle.
That's a lot.
Yeah. And sometimes it's gone up to 1,000 volts.
That's a whole lot.
The one we did in Kansas last year, and the pictures of this actually are on the website in the upper left-hand corner of the screen. If you click on pictures, you can see exactly what I'm talking about. We got like a 2,000-volt change in a circle that was only like 12 feet across, and it seemed to affect the film and everything. We can talk about that in a moment. Well, we thought, hey, if we watch Matt Williams make a crop circle, we can test our hypothesis, does the man-made one affect the meter? And he and his crew went out there and made them with the ropes and the boards, and we thought, you know, this is not like the other ones we've seen, but at least we'll be able to test it. Well, the meter started jumping around, and our whole theory that we'd had for the past year, that the man-made ones were statically flat, just went out the window. But, hey, that's science. I mean, we had data, and it went against what our hypothesis was, but tough luck. What we realized was the man-made ones were creating this change in static charge, too. We just didn't have a large enough sample.
What were you in, a wheat field or what?
Yeah, we were in a wheat field.
All right. Let's say we've got fairly dry wheat, tall, dry wheat. Mm-hmm. wouldn't the process of compacting that down, you'd have wheat rubbing on wheat, you'd have the possibility of an electrostatic charge accumulating, I would think, wouldn't you?
That's exactly what's going on. I think what you're getting towards is what we're becoming to believe is true about them. It has something to do with the pressure, maybe the piezoelectric effect.
Yes.
You know what I'm getting at? Yeah, I think you're going
in
the same direction.
I certainly do.
There's a pressure there. And this is something that Colin Andrews pointed out to me, that normally when the stalks of wheat are standing there, they're like a capacitor because they're insulated by air. But when they're on the ground and flattened, they're now touching each other, physically touching.
That's right.
It could create energy currents circulating around in a swirling spiral motion in the circle that you don't normally have in a wheat field. And that in itself could be generating energies, which we believe, the people I work with, Ron and others, that could be responsible for all sorts of changes in the wheat plants, irrespective of whether it was created by ionic plasmas or stomper boards or extraterrestrials, which really do leave crop circles behind.
Okay.
Pressure is changing, yeah.
Okay, then why wouldn't it be reasonable to project, Doctor, that the simple creation of an electrostatic field in some specific formation, in other words, you could create an artificial electrostatic field, for example, in a room, or in a large aircraft hangar or something, you could set up instruments that would create an electrostatic field in a certain pattern around somebody, and then you might begin to measure. You could even control the intensity of the electrostatic charge, for example, Doctor, and get in the middle of this and see what kind of things manifest themselves.
Well, that's definitely a very good experiment.
Is it?
I think it is. It's because when you make those energy changes, and you know that static electricity, it doesn't have to have a lot of amps. You know, you could have high voltage but low amperage.
High voltage and very low current, yes.
Right. But you know what subtle energy says is you don't need a lot of charge to make something happen. It could be a subtle field. Now, here's the thing. If it's in a coherent shape, like a crystalline form, one of these sacred geometry shapes that you see in crop circles.
Yes.
And it has that kind of electrostatic pattern that is different from the surrounding field. It really could create an effect that you may not get if you don't have a shape there. In other words, the shape combined with the electrostatic field.
Yes. Well, that's why I said. Yeah. And for example, a big hangar, you create an electrostatic field and duplicate, pick a crop circle that's had a very large anomalous effect when people enter it and duplicate that and create an electrostatic field. You could even, as I say, control the level of the charge and then measure paranormal phenomena of those who are inside that field, and you could even test at different voltage ranges.
You could do that. I'm not sure if the static charge is the only thing that's going on there, but that's certainly an interesting experiment. It's certainly an interesting idea.
Well, that would either rule in or rule out the static field itself as a causative agent in the phenomena that's experienced by those in the middle of these crop circles, man-made or otherwise. Doctor, hold on. We're at the top of the hour. From the high desert in the middle of the night, this night we're talking about crop circles and stuff. Actually, a lot of other stuff along with it. But right now, crop circles. Fascinating. The nighttime, the right time for this kind of talk.
Sweet dreams are made of this. Who am I to disagree? I travel the world and the seven seas. Everybody's looking for something. Some of them want to use you. Some of them want to get used by you. Some of them want to...